Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent marks the end of ordinary time as well as the beginning of a new Christian liturgical cycle. Advent is a time of expectation. It is a time for preparation. And at Advent, we look back at the marvelous provision of the birth of Jesus our Lord. And at Advent, we are called to look forward with hope and expectation to the day when Christ returns at his second coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the liturgical calendar, Advent is meant to speak to us. Advent is meant to encourage us in our time of disappointment, in our time of disillusionment, and Advent exhorts us when the waiting hurts. And perhaps this is pertinent because a recent mental health study found that a large proportion of Singaporeans, and the figure is nearly 9 in 10, reported feeling stressed, and up to 16% feeling so stressed as to be felt that this stress was not manageable. Put it another way, in that same study, if vitality were to be described as the intangible sense of feeling alive and alert, in command of our lives and energy, it might just be a little bit concerning if only 1 in 10 Singaporeans report feeling a high level of vitality. And in that sense, in high stress, so-called low vitality Singapore, perhaps we can all relate to the lyrics from the hymn O come, Emmanuel, when we sing of captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile. When the world seems dark, when our lives seem stressed, where do we find hope? Let us prepare our hearts to seek God's wisdom in His Word, shall we? If you are able to, I want to invite you to stand. If you are able to. And let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we listen to Your Word this morning, we ask, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and open our ears, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So as we turn to our text for this morning, Isaiah chapter 9 is set against the historical backdrop of a very major, severe national political crisis. In the face of growing power and menace of the kingdoms to her north, the southern kingdom of Judah felt threatened, anxious, and even powerless. There was the rival northern kingdom of Israel. There was the Syrian Empire as well as the Assyrian Empire. And in the face of fear, instead of trusting God, the leaders of Judah sought human wisdom. They sought a political solution. They compromised with the most terrifying empire of that age, the Assyrians. And of course, found themselves even deeper in trouble. Starting with verse 1, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali encompassed what was called, what would be called the region of Galilee, and these would have been the first to suffer from the fearsome Assyrian invasion of 732 BC. And the people of Zebulun and Naphtali would be conquered, and because of their leaders' abandonment of faith, because of their leaders' insistence on trusting human wisdom instead of turning to God, the people of Zebulun and Naphtali were not only physically oppressed, but they were also even under spiritual darkness. And perhaps even more than highly stressed and so-called low-vitality Singaporeans, the people of Zebulun and Naphtali were in anguish. The future was gloomy. Darkness and despair was overwhelming. But that was not where God intended to leave them. Because into this darkness and despair, God promised a future. Into this gloomy anguish, God promised through the prophet Isaiah, the light of the Messiah, to dispel the darkness, to show them the way. Brothers and sisters, maybe because we are all urban Singaporeans, right? Maybe this question might be applicable. Have you experienced deep physical darkness? Besides the guys who have been to Brunei for training, lah. Right, that one is deep physical darkness, okay? That one I totally admit. Well, many, many years ago, and this is an African story, of course, when our family was still new to Nigeria, I remember heading to the hospital one night. Well, it was evening when I went down to the hospital, helping my resident doctors review some urgent cases. By the time we were done, the sun had set, but the electricity supply to the town was down. So it was pitch black. I remember that I could not even see my hands in front of my face. The path home was familiar, but the physical darkness was so dark that I could not see whether I was on the footpath or wherever else I was. So, you know, in those days, we didn't have smartphones, right? So you took out the old Nokia. That one's gone, so this is my present phone. and then tried to make out the footpath in the dim little display light. And in the darkness, as I walked, I heard a crunch. It was a very crunchy crunch. Because it turns out I stepped on a scorpion. The poor guy was trying to find his way home too. That was a bit scary. But unexpectedly, midway through that journey, the huge diesel generator started up. And there was this gigantic roar next to me, and suddenly there was light. Why? Because the hospital needed to run those x-rays that I ordered. So suddenly there was light. But when there was light, something changed. Where there was anxiety, there was now relief. Where there was uncertainty, everything was now bright and clear. Now, if physical darkness, mere physical darkness, can cause anxiety and uncertainty, how much more would that gloomy spiritual darkness cause a deep unease and despair? But as the prophet Isaiah declares, the people who had been walking in deep darkness would now see a great light. They will rejoice as with joy at the harvest, glad as when they divide the spoil after a victorious battle. And the comparison that Isaiah gives us is with the deliverance that Israel experienced on the day of Midian. And some of us might be, wait, what's Midian? What are we talking about here? Remember, this is a reference back to the days of the Judges, when Gideon defeated the fearsome army of Midian. Remember that one? And if you remember your stories from Judges, Gideon just had a handful of 300 men after he had dismissed some 30,000 soldiers who had responded to his open mobilization summons. This reference to Midian was to encourage Judah. In God's time, in God's way, in God's divine intervention, God will make a way. And therefore, we have hope. In fact, the turnaround would be so dramatic that the delivery would be so complete that there would be no further need for any more war equipment, including the most basic kind of equipment of boots and clothing. And all of these were not deserved, because the people of Judah had done nothing to deserve this deliverance. This would be by grace and grace alone. Question. But how would God accomplish this great and complete deliverance? And I think the answer would have stunned Isaiah's listeners. Because for Isaiah's listeners, in the immediate historical context, their expectation was for a strong warrior type of king who would deliver them from the imminent military threat. Their expectation was for a Davidic king who would bring stability to the southern kingdom of Judah. Instead, Isaiah spoke of the birth of a child, a little child. And for the third time in as many chapters, the birth of a child would have great consequences. You see, in chapter 7, verse 14, the birth of a child warned that it was totally unnecessary for Judah to trust in Assyria for deliverance, because, well, Assyria couldn't be trusted in the first place. In chapter 8, verse 3, the child's birth would be a sign of the same thing, but carry the extra warning that such foolish, misplaced trust in idols, in mediums, would result in judgment and disaster. And now coming to chapter 9, verse 6, the birth of this child would carry the message of deliverance yet another step forward. Despite human lack of faith, despite the human tendency to forget and then wander off, God will yet bring about final victory. Despite unfaithful human leaders whose short-sighted spiritual and defensive policies will actually plunge the nation into more desperate straits, there is lifted up in Isaiah chapter 9 the ideal monarch who would bring an end to all wars and establish God's eternal kingdom. In place of human adult wisdom, God surprisingly does this through what seems to be an innocent, harmless, and even powerless child. This child would be born, given to us by grace. In chapter 9, the child was to be named Emmanuel. In chapter 7, the child was to be named Emmanuel, God with us, to remind us that God had not forgotten, to remind us that God is not far away, to remind us that God remembers and that He is with us. You know, a month or so ago, somebody forwarded me a news article from the Straits Times. It seems artificial intelligence has been harnessed to come up with religious chatbots and other digital tools and apps, including one called Virtual Jesus. I didn't know whether to fall off my chair or not. So in order to get to so-called talk with Virtual Jesus, of course one needs to pay lah to subscribe to the app. I don't know what you think about this, but personally, I feel it's a bit stranger. Something not very right to need to pay to chat with Virtual Jesus when God, our Heavenly Father, who is good and able, faithful and love, has already given us His only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to incarnate His love. Maybe, just maybe, rather than seek out Virtual Jesus, why not, as the prophet Isaiah says elsewhere, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him. Return to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Virtual Jesus may be able to answer your queries at your own time and at your own pace, but a chatbot or an app can never have compassion on you, friends. A chatbot cannot pardon you. An app cannot be with you in incarnational love. And in today's text, unlike Virtual Jesus, we are exhorted that our Lord Jesus would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We have hope because of who Jesus is. Jesus came as a child, as the subsequent Advent sermons and even the Christmas narrative will eventually tell us. Jesus came as a child like no other, in order to reign like no other. As Wonderful Counselor, He would reign with unfathomable wisdom. As Mighty God, He reigns with unmatched strength and power. As Everlasting Father, He reigns with unceasing compassion. And as Prince of Peace, He will usher in a reign of shalom peace, a peace of rest, harmony, with no more anxiety, no more frustration, no more heartache, no more stress, no more low vitality. And as Emmanuel, God is with us, and we have no need to turn to chatbots or AI or idols or anything else for our relationship with Him and for wisdom from His Holy Spirit, with answers that are already found in His Word. Brothers and sisters, on this first Advent Sunday, God's Word calls out to us exhorts us that Jesus, our Lord, whose first advent we look back to and whose second coming we look forward to, brings us light amid the darkness and hope in our anxiety. For Judah, some 700 odd years before the birth of the Messiah, in the depths of their anxiety and despair, Isaiah chapter 9 exhorted them with unexpected light in their dark and gloomy situation, and surprising hope through an unexpected Savior. In high-stress, so-called low-vitality Singapore, the foundation of our hope is the one who came as a child like no other, and who will one day reign like no other. And we are exhorted that this is the zeal of the Lord that will do this. This promise of light and hope is as sure as the heart of God, and it will be a gift of grace that we receive by faith. This good news exhorted Judah to turn from the folly of trusting in idols. This good news encouraged Judah to turn from the folly of trusting in political solutions or in any other earthly human wisdom, but to trust in God's wonderful plans through his messianic ruler. Question: what would this good news encourage us to do today? Whatever the situation we find ourselves in, would you allow Jesus, our Lord, the child given, Emmanuel, to take over the rulership and the government of our lives? Then perhaps we may sing with joyful, expectant hearts, O come, thou day spring. Can we have the slide, please? Come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gracious gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who came as a child like no other and who will reign like no other, to give us the promise of unexpected light, the promise of a surprising hope. God, our Heavenly Father, help us to fix our eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Lord, in your mercy, bring to completion what you have begun in each one of our lives. For we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.